This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Right, you're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Now, this is a little bit exciting. Sarah Love, this is what happened last week anyway. Sarah Love, you're back!
I'm back with a vengeance.
Yeah, it's great to have you in the studio.
I must say, I did love that. So I was chuckling away listening to... How could I not tune into the show last week? I did have to listen retrospectively, and I did really like that little dedication you did to me.
Sarah. Well, you're back.
And you dug out that quality music there, really, like to represent me to the fullest. Well, I loved it.
I'm here for the team, babe. I am here for the team. Hey, but good news, having you back, obviously. Bad news is Doc's away this week.
We're doing
a little mix
and
match.
Honestly, there's no beef between me and Doc or anything. It's not like we're trying to avoid each other or anything like
really?
That.
Really?
Honest.
Well, next week, time will tell. Next week, if you're both back in the studio.
And I wasn't trying to avoid Ali or anything.
You weren't trying to avoid Ali. Well, that's what I want to know. What were you actually up to? Because weren't you in Paris?
I was in Paris.
The city of love. You were in Paris, weren't you?
I was.
Were you in Paris with Ali?
J'adore le Paris.
Were you there with Ali?
Les Champs-Élysées.
Because Ali from FUBAR Office asked you out a couple of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, you're not here. You're in Paris. We were trying to do, you know, put it together, but...
It was all rather overwhelming.
Was it?
I think for both of us. the magic glowing stick.
So what happened? But you didn't end up going on a date?
Well, not yet.
Oh! Oh, there's a yet.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, there is a yet. But, you know, obviously there are professional considerations to bear in mind. Which,
definitely.
So I wouldn't want to compromise anything like that. But
No, you really don't want to do that.
But that would have been absolutely charming to have gone to Paris with Ali. But unfortunately, no. the music signifies there's still hope.
So what were you actually doing? Where were you
no,
at?
Bless you,
were
you Ali. I was away, but living my Clark Kent Superman lifestyle of the DJing in one hand and in the other hand being a top secret agent.
Yes.
Yes.
I love this about you.
I know, impressed. Everyone's always like, you what?
I know.
Yes. So I was actually, I have a second career, which I balance with my DJing, which is I'm a freelance medical journalist.
This is amazing.
Yes.
This makes me so impressed that I know really, really smart people. Really smart
well,
people.
Well, I won't go that far.
Yeah. So what does that entail? Like you go to conferences and stuff where you interview doctors or?
Yeah, I go to conferences and I find the top stories, so someone's found like a cure for cancer or something, and I go and speak to the man or woman himself and get the story, and I put them together into medical programs for doctors. So
right.
That'll be video and radio programs. Yes, and I can see it's all rather boring to most.
Well, it's not, but I do.
But I love it.
Yeah.
I do genuinely love it.
I think it's incredible. It's really incredible. Like, do you ever get the two mixed up? Do you ever turn up to DJ with like spectacles and a recorder, and then turn up to a conference really, really pissed? Going, what? Hang on.
Well, I was DJing in San Francisco a little while ago, and there was also a couple medical meetings happening at the same time. But it was like, let's not overlap the San Francisco party lifestyle with the medical vibes right now. I'd be like, whoa,
that would be so good
out.
Though if you saw some of the doctors, if you saw some of the people out at the club, they're getting absolutely wild.
I know. Well, I would love that. I would love that. I would love that. No, there are actually other medical journalists who have been to some of my gigs before, and they're just like, what the hell? Because obviously they only ever see me like speaking to doctors very formally.
Yeah, but I heard some doctors really like to party. Some doctors are wild, you know. Like some doctors are holding down steady careers and have a very, very, you know, healthy heroin addiction and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you've
not
got
saying,
that.
But just saying, this, you know, I heard some doctors do like, you know, there's a few docs out there that surely get a bit wild.
Oh, yeah, you've got to take advantage of, the resources available to you.
Absolutely. One for you, one for me. Hey, everyone, morphine's everyone's friend, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, I'm really excited today. Joining us on the show just after 5 p.m. is Large Professor. Now,
oh,
one
my
of your
goodness.
Friends. amazing New York-based producer, rapper, just collaborator of Nas, all sorts of big things.
Yeah,
a bit of underground
superstar.
Legend.
Yeah, a real hip-hop superstar, amazing. Superhero, amazing dude. Yeah, so an official part of musical history who's influenced so many people, like beyond hip-hop as well. Yeah. So it's like a real, I'm, you know, he goes down as one of my favorite people in the game. So, and he's got an album coming out soon. So yeah, looking forward to chatting to him later.
Brilliant.
He'll be joining us in shortly in the show, so keep it locked.
I like this guy. Coming up next, Kanye. Now, Kanye, he's pretty much just a endless source of entertainment, that guy.
I know.
He's just a well of fun and weird shit that he does and says. So pretty excited about this story coming up next.
Yes. He's I wonder with Kanye, though, if he does it intentionally, if he just thinks of ludicrous things to say.
I reckon he does.
Intentionally, just to, like, get the tabloids talking, or if this is just his, you know, train of thought, just splurge sort of thing.
He's a wild man. We love him for it.
FUBAR Radio.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away today.
Yes.
But we're lucky enough to have Sarah Love back in the studio.
I know. I did miss you guys last week. And listening back to the show, I was like, oh, it's not fair.
Do you know, it's really, really lovely, though, because you do have, you know, quite a few things in your life that you do. Yeah. But even when a producer, senior producer, mind you.
Give her her full
thank
respect.
Thank you very much. Natalie King just came into the studio and she was like, geez, you're talented, Sarah. You're a DJ, you're a presenter, you're a medical journalist, you're bloody superwoman, aren't you?
Oh, I think Nat's superwoman, really. She's the one running things. She's running this show.
I love it.
Yes.
I love the romance. Right, I'm going to stop that right now. Kanye West, he's you could say that he's at it again, but he's not. It just never ends, really.
I know. It just ramps up further and further each year, I think, with him. Like, it seems to be never ending. His little prank at the Grammys of being like, oh, nah, psych, I'm not really going to intervene this time. But yeah, what a joker.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if it does actually, like, affect his record sales, like all of these pranks he does. And maybe that's, like, part of the this is his method of promoting everything he's doing. So promoting his records, promoting his new clothing line that he's just done in collaboration with Adidas. I think, he needs to get people talking about him, doesn't he? So then people pay attention to all this stuff.
I often wonder when stuff like that happens, like even with the Jay and Solange Beyonce, Solange Knowles, sorry, when they had the fight in the elevator and da-da-da-da, just conveniently around the time that they're both trying to promote heaps of stuff. Like, oh, I don't know, like you just kind of wonder, is it a bit too curious? Does this stuff happen deliberately?
I know. Am I a total cynic for thinking even that their relationship, Kanye and Kim, was like, or just like, this will be great promo?
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah, yeah. Well, the wedding filmed for the bloody Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I was like, oh my God. Of course that was going to happen, but it's just terrible.
My name is Love, but yeah, I am cynical sometimes.
Oh, you're allowed to be. You're allowed to be. You're a smart lady. So the bloody, Kanye's his new fashion line. He's doing a thing with Adidas.
Yes, and I don't know if you saw any of this remarkable unveiling of the line that he did. I don't know where it was, New York, somewhere like that, and all the stars turned out and everything. But the line was kind of a bit odd. It sort of had that kind of, you know, that je ne sais quoi vagabond kind of look going about it. So it's all like ripped up clothes.
Derelict.
Derelict. Yeah.
Zoolander, yeah.
Yeah,
you derelict my balls. Yeah. Capitan. Amazing.
It was literally like something out of that. So, I don't know really how practical any of these clothes are.
Yeah, right.
Like, are people really going to wear this stuff? I mean, any poor bum on the street, they've got the look already, so he's already late on that one. That tip.
Well, what kind of stuff was it? Because I've seen things lately where there's been a lot of the people are turning the sleeping bags into fashion. So it's a sleeping bag, you can literally get in like a swag or whatever, and then it also turns into a jacket, and then you can zip it off even more, and it turns into like a vest.
See, that kind of appeals to me, being that I'm
practical.
Always like too cold, so I'm always like, I need more layers. The sleeping bag look is, interesting.
So is that what he's going for, or is it just a bit more ratty, like pre-worn?
Yes, you're kind of Sunday working in the garden type look. Mm. Yeah, so it's a bit more on that tip. Lots of holes in, like, overstretched arms on the jumpers and things like that. But, I mean, it's so hot right now.
Well, I wonder what is it inspired? Did he?
Well, yeah, this is the other thing that I thought was quite funny. Last night I just saw a headline, him saying that his range with Adidas that he's just done was inspired by the London riots, which I was just like, look, man, don't be trying to claim our culture, yeah. Okay? Yeah. But I don't really understand how he could say it. He said, and also he describes himself as the Robin Hood of fashion. So it's like, okay, mate. But yeah, so apparently he was living in London at the time of the riots.
Oh, right.
And somehow he connected the riots with this vagabondishness. And I was like, that's going to give the wrong impression to the rest of the world about how we get down in London with our fashion stees.
Yeah, it really does. And it's also, you know, like, I don't know, like, what's he trying to say by, you know, he's the people writing, so what, there's going to be, for starters, Adidas, all right? You know, why would you need to associate Adidas with street thuggery?
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
You know? But even though it's true. But at the same token, you know, so what has he got, like, rips and burn marks and all sorts
literally,
of stuff and, you know.
Literally. Yep. Just looks like you've been dragged through a hedge backwards kind of thing. But Kim Kardashian wearing it.
Are people going to want? I wonder if people are going to want.
I think they do.
Yeah?
They probably will.
Oh, yeah, they probably will.
Oh, no, and then, of course, there's, like, the hat new trainers, the Yeezy Sun that he just released too, which, to me, I think, I admittedly am a bit of a shoe obsessive person. I've got way too many pairs of trainers or sneakers, if you're from the States. And so I'm a real, like, sneakerhead.
Yeah.
And he's designed a pair of trainers for Adidas, which I'm not feeling it.
No?
I'm not feeling it. Actually, I think there is another sneaker fanatic on FUBAR, isn't there? I've been meaning to meet dude, and Kiwi dude. But
really?
Yes.
Oh, Jared Christmas.
I know. I've been hoping to, like, bump into him in the hallways and being like, yeah.
Well, I was
show me what you know.
I was a little bit greedy, probably not as bad as you, but just before I moved here, I probably had about 40 pairs. And then I stored about a dozen, gave away about the rest, and then brought about a dozen pairs over with me as well.
That's
so I've got about 12 or 15 in my room at the moment. That's not too bad.
To me, I'm like, that's totally reasonable.
Is that reasonable? That's all
right.
Yeah,
but I mean, my collection's not reasonable at all.
No.
Yeah,
no.
But no, it's good to give away.
Yeah,
give away,
I like
the
that.
Shoes. That's what I've started doing as well.
Mm.
So
so if somebody gave you Kanye shoes, you'd probably give them away.
I think I would sell them on eBay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd give them to a friend to flog on eBay for me.
He's such an amazing man. Like, even saying how this fashion line was inspired by the London riots, I found a funny thing. It's called Kanye-fidence. And this is some inspirational quotes from Kanye West. Just if you ever need a little bit more confidence.
The Robin Hood of fashion.
The Robin Hood of fashion. Yeah. You can give yourself some more Kanye-fidence. Now, it's stuff like, come on now, how could you be mad? How could you be me and want to be someone else? Come on now.
Come on now. Get real.
How could you be me and want to be someone else? That's a little bit more Kanye
for this. Wow.
Well, another thing he said is, when I think of competition, it's like I try to create against the past. I think about Michelangelo, Picasso, you know, the pyramids.
Right. Okay, I'm with you there, mate. I'm with you.
He sits
on another plane on his own, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, this is a bit more of a serious one. I'm so credible and so influential and so relevant that I will change things.
Wow.
I will change things.
Hey, man, it starts with belief, doesn't it? It starts with self-belief.
It does.
He's really, like, flogging that horse kind of thing.
This is a pretty famous one. I'm the number one living and breathing rock star. Which he said early last year, or end of 2013.
Yeah. That sigh of both of us, the simultaneous sigh that says, wow. I mean, yeah, you've got to give him his props.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got to, like, props to him, and he really does put out a lot of material, concert. He's a very busy guy. But, just the attitude. It's nice to be nice.
Yeah.
It's nice
absolutely.
To have some humility.
Do you know what isn't nice? It's finding blood in something that you've just ordered. You've just ordered some food or something. Or a drink. And you find blood in it. Got quite a disturbing story.
Oh,
I want to share with you next.
That is horrific.
After a Kanye West song. FUBAR Radio. Radio. Yeah. Kanye West, All Falls Down.
See, do songs like that go down as a classic?
I don't know.
I guess what is a classic? What makes a classic record? But yeah, I guess that definitely does like epitomize an era, doesn't it, in pop music?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's important on that tip, yeah.
You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc Brown is away today. Sarah and Hugh holding it down today.
Yeah.
Now, this is really, really disturbing. I was just reading this in the Metro this morning. And basically what happened is a young woman, her name's Janine Hughes. Now, she ordered a latte from her local Costa in Wales, where she lives, South Wales. And so apparently what happened was she has a sip out of her latte that she's ordered and left the store. And then she's like, that tastes really weird. It tastes almost a little bit irony, which is a weird thing to think when you're having a drink.
It's not something you want to, that would occur to you.
No, rusty coffee, you don't know what's going on. So she takes off the lid and looks inside the cup, and it's basically filled with blood. There's blood in her coffee.
And for it to be the amount of blood, yuck, where it's like you could taste it.
I know. That's really bad.
That's really disturbing.
Bad. So she's losing her mind. She's completely free. Because she's just had a sip of this as well. It's kind of like, oh, that's really weird. So she's taken it back to the counter, and she's just gone like, what the hell is going on here? She's furious, of course. And then the manager had come out and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, the barista had cut his finger. He'd run off to fix it. Someone else had just grabbed the coffee and put a lid on it, so they must have given it to you by mistake. She's furious, and all it says is that she's written a letter. It's now obviously in the paper, but it doesn't. All she said is that she's just got an apology. But like, would you really?
Nah.
Would you want free coffees? Would you? What? You wouldn't want to go back there ever again.
I ain't going out like that. It ain't no like I'm just walking home with a free coffee. Like, look, I got a free coffee.
I know. Yeah,
that is not how that is ending that story.
It's so bad. Like, I'm a germaphobe, right? So I'm pretty bad.
I am
pretty
a bit
bad
as well.
But even if I just
found, like, match made in heaven.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah. But even if I found like a drop on a lid or something like that, I'd be like, what? What's up? Fucking burn this place down.
Yeah.
Let alone enough where she's like,
turned criminal.
She has literally said she's taken off the lid and just be, and it looked, there was enough blood in there that it looked like it was just filled with blood.
Oh my God.
Oh.
But dude must have been in like some critical condition to have been bleeding that
him?
Much into her. Yeah, no one cares about him. She's like, I want my free coffee.
Oh.
I don't care if his life is at risk right now.
It's really bad. I mean, it does happen from time to time though. Like, you go out, you find things. I mean, I had this years ago. I was eating like a chicken schnitzel or parma with a salad, and I found like a little Band-Aid strip in the salad.
That's nice.
And I was like, you know, for me,
like extra spice,
being a germaphobe and already had eaten half of that, and then looking into that, I'm just like, this is like my worst nightmare.
I'm like traumatized hearing about this. I'm never gonna eat out again.
Oh, it ain't cool.
Oh,
it ain't cool at all.
Oh, you found the blaster.
But people find stuff. I mean, I had a friend recently found I think he was eating a pasta or something and found like a quid. Found a quid in his pasta.
Bonus.
I know, it's just weird. You kind of be like, man.
Quid's in.
Oh, horror. Have you ever found anything disgusting in food?
Is this like just an accepted part of life that we have to...
I think it is.
Yeah, we just go along with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when people do it, people like, eat half a meal, throw their own pubes in it and go, what is going on here? I'm not paying for that.
No, but speaking of being like germaphobe, I remember there was like that one of those hidden camera investigation programs into all those pre-packed sandwiches, how they're made, and then showing how grimy it is, like how they're making these sandwiches in the factory. I just dread to, and that really has put me off. I guess one of the worst things has got to be if you're eating something and a hair.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
but if the hair is in your mouth,
yeah,
and I think a short hair is worse than a long hair, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's just curly? So much mystery around a short
you're
hair.
You're bald. How did I get a curly hair in my food if you're bald?
And you have no eyebrows. So yes. No.
All right, how about this one? This is probably the worst one I've heard. Right, and apart from the blood one, I think this one pretty much equals par and par on the blood in the coffee. This is like it's an urban myth, but I like to think that it's true. Right, so this is from a KFC in Australia. Right, apparently somebody got a burger. They ordered their chicken burger, eat their chicken burger, and they taken a bite and they're like, oh, idiots! I said don't put mayonnaise on it. Ugh. Furious.
No,
took it back and they were like, we didn't put mayonnaise on. Open it up. There was a massive cyst on the chicken and then taken a bite. You thought it was going to sperm, but it wasn't sperm, no. There was a massive cyst. A massive cyst on the chicken, and it had burst when they'd taken a bite, and there was just chicken goo.
All I can say is, that's what you get. If you go to KFC, that's what you're eating anyway at KFC, whether or not it was apparent to you visually. That's what you're eating from that place, basically. So, Jesus Christ. I don't know I don't know what's worse than that, all the blood, actually.
Yeah, I know. Chicken cyst or blood.
But yeah, this is something that has happened to everyone.
Yeah, well, let's get some stories in. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Literally, what have you found in your food or a drink or something that you've ordered?
Worst thing or the best thing?
Yes.
Like the pound?
Yeah.
That was sort of like a little treat.
That was a good one. I mean, people get proposed to. You can go, there's an engagement ring.
You can choke on an engagement ring.
Yeah, isn't that sweet? Or give us a call as well on 0330-223-0200. That's 0330-223-0200.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll take your calls, take your stories up next. Yeah, we got Queen Bee she just tweeted us at FUBAR Radio. A bloody latte. That is disgusting. Oh my God. I'm totally with you. Absolutely totally with you.
People on Twitter seem like they're actually like running to vomit from hearing that story. I was honestly just like, heave.
I know.
Hearing that.
Oh my God.
That's a lawsuit. That's got to be a lawsuit.
Definitely.
Straight up.
Because
she's like, I'm getting paid.
Well, especially her now. She's freaking out. Like it says in the article, you can go and check it out. It's in today's Metro. It's page 7. She's saying that she's now got to wait for blood results. The blood test to see if she's find out she's got an infection or something like that because
or AIDS or
dirty
something.
Dirty blood.
Is that the lady?
Yeah.
Let me see. She's like, I'm not impressed. I'm taking this to the top.
Very upset.
Oh, and a letter from Costa. Oh, you just got to look at the story just to see her face. So she's like, I'm taking this all the way.
Hit us up on Twitter or give us a call right now and we'll get your stories up next on FUBAR Radio with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. That's D'Angelo and the Vanguard. Till It's Done, the name of that one. You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Yeah, that track is off D'Angelo's new album. Definitely go and check that out because it came out in December, but everyone was like, this is the best album of 2014, so peep it. Black Messiah, it's definitely a shot in the arm. Compared to a lot of what I was seeing on the Grammys, I found that all a bit bland, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yes, you're tuned into the show.
Yeah. Hey, we've just been talking about a pretty disturbing story that we're reading in Metro this morning about a girl from Wales who basically ordered a coffee from a Costa and then she left the Costa, took a sip, she was like, this tastes weird, opened up the lid, it's filled with blood.
Beautiful.
Not like filled. It's not like it's what's that vampire show? Bloody when they drink the blood. What's the one? What's that one called?
I don't watch it.
I forget what it's called now.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah,
but it was visible anyway. It wasn't like this was just one drop of blood.
Oh.
Which even that would have been like, I'm gonna have a breakdown.
Oh no, it's really really bad, and we're not even. It doesn't even really say like what's happening from here. She apparently got a letter saying that we apologise. It's a bit of a mistake. We stuffed up.
It's just how it goes sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
but it's a free latte.
It's disgusting. I mean, finding stuff in food, it really can be bad. One thing though, are you the type of person where you send stuff back? Because I know people that are just so like hate sending stuff back to the point where like even if they were like, I've already found something disgusting in my food, if I send it back now, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, no, I'm always like, don't send it back. They're just going to spit in your food.
Yeah.
No chef wants something returned to them. But yeah, no, there's sometimes where you've got to. I think if it's something like, horrific, like blood or a piece of plastic, which I have found plastic in food before.
Yeah, that's bad.
Which didn't really add too much to the flavour, but it was pretty unpleasant. The possibility of choking on it or something. But I think in those circumstances, yeah, you've got to send it back, man.
Yeah, you've got to.
But anything lower than that, for me, I'm like, I don't want to deal with this food. Already, my appetite has been ruined. I don't want to deal with this now that I've offended the chef.
Yeah.
Let's just draw a line under it.
They
and
will
keep it
power.
Moving.
They can do whatever they want to your food. They can do whatever they
want.
I'll
just have bottled water, thanks.
I know. It is a really tough. I mean, the thing, like, people find bugs and stuff like that. I found some bugs. Like a cockroach. You think, oh, it's disgusting. Ooh. But they're really clean. Cockroaches are apparently really clean. So
and it's a vital source of protein.
Great source of protein. Absolutely.
So really. But you know, apparently that's what they're saying is the future of like the human diet is reverting back to eating insects and grubs and things like that. Because it's like you get loads of protein without damaging the environment.
I know, it tastes like shit though. I'd rather a bloody latte than to eat a bloody grubby grub. Hey, we had Queen Bee. She tweeted us at Foodbar Radio, so she found a rather large bit of metal in a meal once. I think I can remember where, but won't name and shame in case I'm wrong. What a shame. You should have just taken wild stabs in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Any restaurant you want.
There's no such thing as bad promo.
No, absolutely
it's all good promo.
Oh, that's yuck.
But of course, you do find quite lavish dishes. Traveling in DJing in Cambodia, I did almost eat a tarantula.
Whoa!
Yeah, but everyone's like, "Yes, it's delicious. Get involved."
Yeah,
but no, I didn't have the balls.
No,
no pun intended.
No. Well, 0330-223-0200. If anyone has some balls that Sarah could have, that would be amazing.
Not really big fan.
Oh, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. Oh, my bad.
Or if you have some balls, which
I really misread
that.
I really misread this whole thing. Coming up next, Sarah Love, you're a DJ. I'm a DJ too. I had some very, very funny things happen on the weekend. So what I want to do is, should people say to DJs? The shit that people say to DJs. Some pretty wild stuff. I had a couple of real doozies on the weekend. I'll share with you up next. Right after the Black Eyed Peas, you're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Q and Doc 2. Doc Brown's away today. Black Eyed Peas, Joints and Jams. Haven't heard that for ages.
I know. And it's funny because it was like there was that Black Eyed Peas, then they sort of like morphed into this other Black Eyed Peas, and everyone was like, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of like people felt the rug was sort of pulled under their feet, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of bridging the gap, was pretty much the gap that they bridged for themselves from being good and credible to incredible
to
shit.
To Fergie. Yeah. Like, no, bless them for sharing Fergie with the world.
Absolutely.
That was a great contribution.
She is very brave. I heard that she was so nervous on her first big like stadium gig that she pissed her pants. And there's photos of it on the internet as well.
Oh,
she still got
nice.
Up and did it, and she, you know,
yeah,
being that
I can
nervous.
Understand her, being that nervous, you know, because when you have such little talent, it is quite daunting to be thrown in the deep end like that. I'm joking. It's all
love.
I know nothing about. I've never seen her live, anything like that. But she doesn't really tickle me fancy.
Oh, fair enough. Hey, you're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away today, and coming up not too far away, we're going to be joined on the show by an absolute legend, a large professor from the States, producer, rapper, just
all-round cool
everything.
Guy. And that's the other thing that's great about him is he's such a nice dude. And I think that really counts for a lot in the music industry, because it's great if you're like super talented and you have wonderful things to offer. But, you know, when you're good, when you meet someone you admire and they're an asshole, it's just like,
I know, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not the case with Fergie or Will I Am or Kanye or
maybe Fergie or maybe Kanye. Yeah, hey, we're talking about him and talking about professions like that. So your profession, obviously, a big part of your career is DJing.
Yes,
it's a very, very curious thing. I've been DJing for about sort of 12 years now, something like that. And you just, especially more so in bars or clubs and stuff like that, rather than other things where people can still get access to you. To ask a request, say some really, really weird shit.
Yeah.
But it's very, very regularly that people come up and say strange things. I know there's a bit of a thing about, you know, that the shit that people say to DJs.
Yeah.
You must have had some great, I'm sure there's been some strange things happen over the years.
Yes, no, most definitely. I mean, I've been DJing now, goodness me, professionally for 15 years.
Mm.
And I think it's the combination of there being excited people, alcohol, loud music is like a perfect mixture for like incoherent, like some kind of rapport going on with you and people in the crowd. But yeah, all kinds of weird behavior where you're like, okay, you're just drunk. Let's just move away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they don't. They can get very, very convinced that what they're doing is the right thing to do.
Yes, because they know best.
Well, I had a girl get quite angry at me when I was DJing on Sunday at a joint in Shoreditch, and she came up to me. For starters, she came up, and the first thing she said was, she just sort of stared at me for a while, like just giving me like these weird sort of cold eyes, and I'm like, okay. And then she leans over, and I'm like, yeah, okay, what's going on? She's like, my boyfriend's a rapper. And I was like, is he? That's great. She's like, cool, all right, good chat, lady. That was the first thing she said to me, right? That was the first thing she said to me. I was like, great. And then she came up maybe about half an hour later, and she's like, could you play some like real hip hop, some like real rap? And I was like, oh, I've kind of been playing hip hop for like the last hour or so. Like, well, I'm just trying to figure out.
What on earth do you mean?
What did you have in mind? She was like, you know, real rap, like, you know, Iggy Azalea, real shit. And I was like, maybe sit the next one out, babe. maybe sit the next one out. What do you reckon? I'd probably stop talking for a bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little while. Poor Dals.
I'll get
back
to you on that one. Yeah, I know. No, those are good. But I realised as a DJ, the best way to deal with those odd requests is just be like, I'll work on that for you. Not sure, but I'll work on it for you. And then they're like, oh, good.
I'll have a look.
But then there's the persistent ones who were like, hold on, I did ask you 2 minutes ago if you played like the Iggy Azalea.
Yeah. They can get quite nasty. Actually, shit, I've had quite a few this weekend. Because I DJed Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I've had quite a few. I went on Saturday or was it Friday? I can't remember now. A girl came up to me. She's like, can you play some Taylor Swift? It's my birthday. Can you play some Taylor Swift? I was like, I don't even have any Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
I barely know who the girl is, to be honest.
And she was like, how the fuck did you get a job as a DJ if you don't even have Taylor Swift? She's like, what?
Damn.
What are you, like, how did you even get this job?
With you. She's like, right, she's rolling up the sleeves.
She was.
Like, let's take this.
I was really offended. I was like, ow, lady.
Wow.
You're cutting me deep here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to pay my bills.
I don't have the same taste in music as you. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Wow. You have to come up and abuse me. Shit.
Break me down. Yeah, no, I guess that is kind of a golden rule of DJing that a lot of DJs have, isn't it? Is no requests.
Yeah.
You got to trust the DJ. It's like you wouldn't tell the bus driver how to drive, would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be like, excuse me, you should have turned your indicator on a little bit sooner than that.
They would love that. Lucky enough just not to get closed in the door. I got closed in another door on the way here, a bus driver. They really don't like me for some reason. You know, actually, a mutual friend of ours, Flagrant, who's a DJ, my mate back in New York.
Flago.
He had a really good one. He made a little sign up that said, request $20. Right? And some people, every now and then, we go, yeah, no sweat. And give him $20. And he'd be like, oh, shit.
Wow.
Okay. That actually worked. Damn.
I was like, sell out.
I had another one on the weekend where a guy came up, asked me for something, and I was like, nah, man, I haven't even heard of that. I don't even know what that is. And he's like, all right, cool, come on. He's like, no, jump off. He's like, come on, I got this unlocked, mate, don't worry. I'll do a little iPod jam out for like, you know, 15, you just, you know, sit this one out. And he's like trying to like push me out of the booth, and I'm like, what fresh hell is this? Yeah. What is going on here?
Like, yeah, go ahead, just plug in.
It's really,
cool.
Really weird.
I'll just pop off to the bar for a while. You take over, you random stranger in the club.
What do you think it is? It's like, people just don't think of it as like, looking at you going, this is your job.
It's a complete lack of understanding of the process.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But I think it's also enthusiasm. Like, people are just having a good time. They're not thinking straight.
Yeah.
They're not thinking, okay, I could get punched in the face right now. Yeah. You know? They're not really thinking it through fully, are they?
Oh, God.
No, but I have been known to just straight up be like to people, not paying it, don't own that kind of rubbish.
Yeah.
So, step off.
Do you get people get upset?
Have I had people get upset? No, because I think it's always delivered with a smile.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. No.
Aww.
No, but you know what? Last week I actually saw DJ Newmark, who's from the group Jurassic 5, and he's got a new project out with Slim Kid from Farside. And he was doing like a DJ set before their performance, and a girl jumped on stage. Drunken girl jumped on stage to make a request, and so he just stopped the music and put the microphone in her face, and he was like, what was that, what were you saying? She was like, no.
Oh, brilliant.
So just like, yeah, that's terrorized her.
That's
back into her place
it. That is how you handle it. Yeah. I like that.
I know, really, I was good. Quite impressed. I was like, wow, how did I not think of that That's brand new Large Professor from his forthcoming album, Reliving. And we're going to be speaking to him a little later in the show. And that's one thing I always like about Large Professor. He's always got those kind of like lovey-dovey songs.
Yeah, nice.
That appeal to sound.
How do you guys know each other anyway?
Hip-hop, man!
Yeah,
I guess it's just like the hip-hop circles and everything. Like, it's all into, it's all like one degree of separation in hip-hop, isn't it? So, yeah, it's just like through music, I guess. I'm trying to think when I even first met him. But, yeah, I was a fan for many years. And then to finally meet him was like, oh,
that's amazing.
My God!
Yeah,
but yeah, he's always got those lovey-dovey tunes that we all need a bit of those in our lives.
Amazing. He's going to be joining us on the phone from the States in less than 15 minutes, so that's going to be really good. You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc Brown is away today. We don't know exactly why he's away.
I know. I was guessing that, oh, well, it's half term, you know, family man. Maybe he's like away doing fun things with the family and kids and everything, keeping them occupied. But or maybe he's just dodged all that. And he's like, you know what? I'm going on holiday. you guys have a great half term.
No, sorry. You're absolutely right. He is away on holiday.
On his own.
Yeah. completely forgot he said that. Yeah, he said that he's gone to see a mate somewhere. He's gone overseas somewhere to see a friend.
Well timed.
For the week. Yeah, half term. Very, very suspiciously.
He's like, dusted his hands off of all those responsibilities.
Hey, I'm talking about school, though. This is interesting. There's an article that I was just reading. Compulsory sex education in all primary schools.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I think especially now from compared to when I was a kid, you know, that how much further, you know, technology has come since then, which is a long time ago. Because I'm old. 33. I'm told I was old the other day. I'm old now. But it is quite scary. And I think the, you know, from kids, you know, say when they were my age, most kids, we seem to sort of find out more about sex when you're probably, you know, I don't know, 10 or somewhere around that. It seemed like kids.
You mean our generation?
Yeah, our generation. Or somewhere around then you start to, you know, piece it all together, or however you figure it out.
Yeah.
But I think now you've got kids that are like 5 or 6 are being exposed to porn and stuff like that because it's just so crazy. It's on the phone, it's on the, you know, it's on the computer or the whatever, however.
Accidentally or however.
It could be
accidentally.
That's nuts. I think it's kind of crazy. So I think it's a good idea, you know, like this, you know, having a compulsory education because it does, it's a big part. You don't want people to feel weird about it. It's a part of life, but you want to know how to do it safely.
And I think it's important. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. But no, of course, there's lots of people who are like, hell no. I mean, my niece was telling me that there were kids taken out of her school for when they were doing the sex education class because the parents were like, nope, we don't agree to this. Which I was like, that's a shame. That's a loss.
It is. And you might grow up feeling a bit repressed about it, like you're doing something wrong. And then you know what happens then? Then, of course, you go, okay, well, now I'm going to go and work in bondage because I really need to take it to the other extreme now.
I need a gimp mask, But no, I'm all for it. I think being just... Because the fact of the matter is, this is the reason why we're all here. Mm. So we should be able to speak openly about it.
To get laid.
Yes,
that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Let's just be real.
got
to be direct. I mean, my dad told me how my grandma... taught him about the birds and the bees by saying, I think it's Mae West who said, is that a gun in your pocket or are you just happy to see me? And then she was like, you see what she's talking about there? That's when a man gets an erection.
Oh.
And so she was quite direct about it, which I thought that was pretty forward thinking considering it was like the 50s or whatever.
Yeah, that
but,
is.
Yeah, so I think, so we were always told that it's something you should feel free to speak about.
Mm.
Shouldn't be a taboo subject.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's all, I don't know, for like the gap, I think it'd be good to sort of start... at you know, start from the start and not just go straight to something like when I was a kid and I heard somebody said at school, one of the older kids or something said something about a head job. And I, in my mind, I carried this around for weeks thinking that it was where, bear with me here, all right, bear with me. I thought a head job was when you put your head inside someone else's bum.
Fair enough. That's a reasonable conclusion to get to, I guess.
And why, but, and then... And then it somehow came up at home that that's what I thought it was. And then my parents were like, no, we want to, you know, we're going to be open and da-da-da. And then they told me what it was, and I was just, like, in shock.
I was like,
are you serious? People do that?
Like, why the hell would you want to do that?
They do what? Seriously, it was so much better when I thought you just put your head up someone's ass.
Yeah.
That was way better. That's disgusting.
Just the insight into the workings of your mind.
Yeah, man. What happened? Do they blow up like a balloon? I didn't get it. What happens? What happened?
Oh,
I don't understand.
My gosh. No. Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
Bless your cottons. Your
And I still kind of think that.
Yeah, aspirations.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got to be open-minded, you know, to discover new things.
I think, seriously, though, I do think it is. This is a good idea because I'm even just talking to friends now who have kids and da-da-da-da, and it's just, you know, I think it's a much, much different world now, not only with the internet, but just even everything, you know, that the kids are exposed to on TV and da-da-da.
It's off-key, man, because it's like when you think there's kids who are fans of, like, Nicki Minaj or... Beyonce even, or whoever. I don't know what the kids listen to these days. Mm. But I mean, it's like, imagine if you're learning about these things from watching like the Anaconda video or something.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not having my kids go out like that.
Nah.
But, you know, but that's also why it's important for parents to, you know, be able to speak openly with their kids about these things. Because otherwise, they're going to look for the answers like, you know, down the club in the West End or Old Compton Street or, on these crazy gangster rap videos and everything.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, that's not the right way to learn. Yeah.
God, it'd be an awkward conversation though, sitting down with your kids and going, shit, I'm really sorry I have to do this.
Yeah.
But it's important.
And now's the time.
There's a few things you need to know. There's a few things you need.
I mean, I speak openly with my nieces and nephews about it, and like, we just have a good giggle. They think it's like really hilarious when they.
Yeah.
But I mean, so it's, they're taking a more lighthearted approach, I think, is the way. And the more at ease that you are to talk about it, the more they're going to be like, yeah, this is just normal to discuss these things.
That, do you know what? That is actually probably a good way to take a lighthearted approach about it. That's much better. Yeah. I was like, look, here's what happened, kids. Basically, a woman and a man, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. Basically,
when they love each other.
When they love each other, and it doesn't matter anyway because guys are really crap at it. So it's basically something that women just do because it's out of obligation for their partner, and they don't. It's not really that enjoyable for them, and it's fine. Yeah. It's fine, and that's pretty much what
obligation
happens.
For the human race.
It's great. Yeah. Oh, God, really not looking forward to that one. But I'll tell you what I am looking forward to. We are really, really close now to being joined on the line by large professor, producer, rapper, absolute just pioneer legend from over in the States.
Incredible, like his resume, as the Americans would say. You know, the artists that he's worked with and like certified classics. I mean, Common. The rapper Common, he's like now, you know, superstar, Grammy winning Hollywood actor, and it's just like incredible his beginning. But yeah, you know, Large Professor definitely played a role in the makings of his reputation and everything too. So there's just so many people that he's like influenced and played a part in their careers. But yeah, I think are we going to have time for another Extra P song?
Yeah, in fact, nice. It ain't hard to tell right now. So he produces.
Yes, and just the amazing. Other day, what I was just so excited because Nas released a classic album called Illmatic, which had like some of the best producers on, including Large Professor. And just the other day, he was performing at the NBA All-Star game with Christina Aguilera. And yeah, it just reminded me of like, oh, I'm so proud of you, Large Professor, for contributing towards this masterpiece.
Oh, that's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
This is the classic Large Professor production. Nas, it ain't hard to tell.
Oh, man, super keen.
But yeah, keep it locked. Coming up next on FUBAR Radio. Tweet us and, get in touch, FUBAR Radio.
It's Nas, It Ain't Hard to Tell, produced by Large Professor. You're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away today, but he'll be joining us next week. But we are very, very lucky right now to be joining the man who we just heard from, Large Professor. He's joining us right now. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Peace.
Oh, it's so great to hear your voice. I don't know if you're hearing me very well, though, on the line.
Yeah, now I hear you. I hear you great now. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, but no, it's wonderful to hear you. And, we've had a few of your tracks in the show already today, including two of your the new single from your latest album, Reliving.
Yes.
Sounding super fresh, and it's so exciting to hear new material from, you know, a golden era producer. Tell us about the new record. Is that out already? What's happening with that?
Okay, now the new project is slated to release in June. So we just dropped a single. The song In the Scrolls was a tribute to Nas. We released that on his birthday time. And we just released a video for the song Own World, which, you know, is getting a nice little buzz out there, you know, cool joint, you know what I mean? Just putting that out there to the world.
I know. And you got Boogie Blind, my homeboy, on the cuts on that one, too.
That guy is incredible on the turntable. So I definitely had to get him, you know, that's a hometown hero of mine, so definitely, like, I, you know, on the DJ tip, I definitely wanted to get him you know, to bless me with some scratches.
Yeah, and that's something that I've always appreciated about you and, you know, the good people in hip-hop, how you're always showing love to, like, new talent or just talented people who deserve the shine. You mentioned Boogie Blind there. Of course, he's like the executioner's family lineage and everything. But also, of course, you played, like, a massive part in Nas's career, really, as well. And, you know, I feel, you know, that's such an important story in hip-hop. What was it like being involved in such a golden era, a golden record, really?
Well, I mean, with Nas, it was all natural, so you don't think, I mean, obviously when you shoot for the stars and you want to make everything count, but it was just a natural thing. You know, he was an incredible talent, and I recognized that early, so I just wanted to make sure that he got the stage. Like, at that time, I had the stage, and I wanted to bring him to that stage and, you know, let him take the ball to the end zone, or, you know, let him score his points from there, like however he did. And he did that, so that's a good thing.
I know, he's absolutely smashed it, because he's like one of these real high profile rappers, but he's still very much true to the you know, the art form of hip-hop too, without, like, I don't think we can accuse him of being like a bit of a sellout or anything like that. But no, it was wicked, because the other day I seen him perform at the NBA All-Star game and just doing that one verse of New York State of Mind. I was just like, yes, hip-hop out there shining. You know, but it's like,
and I just saw a snippet that Timbaland released of some supposed new material, and the stuff that he was saying on that was incredible. So that was just good to, you know, and obviously I've spoken to him, you know, a few times, like over the holiday season. But, I mean, he's still just as sharp as a tack. Definitely.
Mm. It's amazing. I mean, you've been so influential and involved with so many other artists coming up. You know, as obviously Niall's talking about, you know, with Common, people like this. Who were some of the people that were really influential and supportive to you when you were starting out?
I had a mentor by the name of Paul C that was, like, very influential in my production style. And God bless him. He's, you know, but Eric B. and Rakim, Kool G Rap, a lot of the golden era guys that I looked up to, like, they kind of embraced me early. They recognized the hunger and just kind of, like, gave me that stage like I did for many others. And I'm just still rolling. But there's so many.
Incredible.
Grandmaster Caz. I mean, I could go back to the beginning, but, you know, like, it's just, you know, so many layers.
I know, such a beautiful thing. And another thing that I found so, like, exciting, I think, in that sort of 90s era, like, you were referencing some people, like, from the more 80s, early beginnings, but, like, how there was, like, this healthy competition going on between producers. So, like, on that Nas album, it was, like, you did a lot of the production. You had Pete Rock and Primo. But it was really, like, listening to you guys sparring against each other on the beats. Was it always friendly, or was it ever kind of, like, giving each other evils across the mix?
Oh, no, we were always comrades, you know, like, from day one when I met Premier and Guru. Like, we were at a cable video station, you know, just kind of trying to promote our projects and everything, and we just had the camaraderie there. Lord Finesse was along with them at that time, so we all met at that one time. Pete Rock, he played my first record ever. Like, he's the first person to ever play a Main Source Lars Professor record ever.
Wow,
so that dude is like, I love him to the end, you know, and I'm loyal to him to the end. And I mean, LES, that guy used to work with my father in the hospital. So it was just like old family. It was all love. Like, and, you know, it's just, you know, when you go, like I said, you shoot, you make sure that you're trying to make the best that you can. But for me, like, I'm not trying to, you know, outshine or have any kind of competition. You know, it's just adding on, you know, God's build kind of thing, definitely.
Where are you? Are you based now in New York still?
Yes, in Queens, New York, by the Globe, by the Unisphere. I'm so, right up the block from the Unisphere.
Where's your studio? Like, give us an idea of a day in the life of Lars Professor.
An insight.
What goes on?
Music. Not much television. Music and social media. Just listening and cleaning and organizing, is because it's so much. I have so much music. So much cakes, sneakers, and clothes, and just everything. It's just organized and files, daily organization.
What are we talking here? Sarah and I were just talking about our kicks collection ourselves. What are you looking at here?
Numbers.
How many pairs?
Well, see, I've been trying to narrow down lately. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's with tears. I'm like, oh, but I got it. So, I'm maybe like a nice 15 to 20, like solid, you know, and then there are extras,
special occasions, yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I do mine in like a rotation system. So I have like my Sunday chillers right at the top. I only wear those when I know they're not going to get dirty at all. And then I have other pairs that sit underneath that. So I'm like, yeah, these ones are pretty fresh, but I'm willing to wear these to a club. From going out. And then there's other ones that just keep getting further down the list, And then they work on a rotation system. Yeah.
Right, and I have like performance pairs you know, all right, these are the ones that I hit the stage with. Then I have the ones that are like, okay, here I'm taking out the garbage with these, you know, that kind of thing.
But I have to make like a really sad confession. I'm too afraid to even count how many kicks I have because I'm like, this is obscene now.
Yeah.
I own far too many. So, but I have like them all on my hard drive. So rather than having to go through on the shelves, I'm like, I'm wearing this and this. So let me just flick this. Remember that film Clueless, how she had her wardrobe?
That's
like
a good
digital
idea.
I know, but it's kind of embarrassing to admit that, isn't it? I should really be.
No, see, I was like that. I was like that at one time. I really had too many. It was just crazy. Like it was too many. And, I was thinking of putting pictures on all of the boxes and everything. And I had to stop and just like, wait, this is getting crazy now. Like, I need to kind of cool out. It was just getting crazy.
Truly
like,
a man after my own heart.
But that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You're going to bite my style now. You're going to bite my style. Digitalize the kicks.
Hey, we're joined by Large Professor from the States right now on the line. You're cool to stick around. We want to play one of your tunes now and then keep chatting if that's all right.
Yes.
FUBAR Radio.
You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brownie's away today, and that was Large Professor in the Scrolls.
And we've got the main man, Extra P, on the phone line with us, live and direct from New York.
Yes.
So exciting. Yes. Oh, that warms my heart to hear you say that. No, but that last track, though, that's from your forthcoming album. You said that tune was dedicated to Nas.
Yes, Reliving. It's called Reliving. And it was because he kind of shouted me out on the J. Cole track. And it was like, wow, you know, that's nice right there. So I sent him the track for him to use. And he was busy, you know, he was kind of doing his thing, going around. And I said, well, it would be a good idea if I just kind of did a tribute to him. And so that's what that is right there.
That's ill. Amazing. And I love that. Well, I just, to me, that's just the natural order of things. He should be shouting you out at every opportunity he gets, really. But like, to me, when I think of Large Professor, I think he has got to be hip hop's favorite person. Like, I've never encountered anyone in hip-hop, and I've been in this game a little minute. No, but, you know, whoever has anything bad to say about you, like, you have such a untarnished reputation musically and just as a person, too. Like, you know, how do you do it? How are you so loved?
No, well, I mean, because I'm in here organizing. I'm not really out in the streets. I'm not out, you know, acting silly or anything. I'm just kind of getting all these records together and putting these beats together and just, you know, hooking my friends up. Nori, I just hooked something up for them for the new CNN project. And, you know, so I'm a busy guy. And, you know, a lot of times when you're busy, like, you can't get twisted up in the tomfoolery.
You're not a robot. You're a human being. What was the last really, really shit thing you did? What was something come on, there's got to be something. Spill some dirt on yourself.
You said the last what thing that I did?
What's the last bad thing you've done? Bad, something that's a bit shit.
Oh, bad thing?
Maybe you're mean to someone.
I ate a whole box of Teddy Grahams.
Come on.
That is naughty.
Come on. Well, more than that. Come on. You can't be that perfect. Come on.
No. Okay, well, I wrote on the wall at, you know what I'm saying? I wrote at a wall on the wall at one of the venues, you know what I mean? The old graffiti
tag.
P came out, and I just started tagging up on the wall.
Amazing. There we go.
That's their privilege to get you to tag up their wall, man. That ain't not either.
Hey, you know you're doing something right when you're even trying to fuck up someone's property, and they love you so much they go thanks. They go thanks for doing that. You're like, oh, okay.
We appreciate it. And you know, I've got to say, the other reason why I think like you have such a dope reputation in hip hop is the remixes, man. Like, you know, I think there was an era, to me, you are like, have done some of the illest remixes ever in the history of hip hop. And I say, it's like you and Pete Rock, again, it was sort of like you two sparring it out in the 90s with the ill classic remixes. Like, what was that like? What are some of your favorite remixes like that you've done?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, thank you first off, then, but the Common, the Slick Rick. Like, it was really an honor to work with Slick Rick. Mm. That guy is incredible. Like,
and he's English. I mean, let's just, like, remind everyone of that.
To start with a remix and then to actually work with him was, like, that was great to see that. I mean, I learned so much in the studio from him and everything. I just recently did a nice remix for Blue.
Yes.
Kiss the Sky.
Oh, my God. I love that. And really the original was produced by M Phasers, who we spoke to last week as well on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I did a nice remix for Diamond District recently that was kind of nice. And then there's another group called Son of Sam that I just did a nice remix out in on your side of the pond, I think. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's kind of nice. They had something with Master Ace that I kind of hooked up. So,
oh,
I mean, that's been a nice little resurgence, like the remix thing. A lot of people have been revisiting that idea, so
yeah,
you know, I'm all for it. I'm just getting busy.
Yes, no, you are a certified king of the remix. Another one of my favorite two of my favorite all-time hip hop remixes. One is the Organized Confusion, who we spoke to Farrah Monch on the show a couple weeks back as well. Is your Stress remix? That is like, I love that. And
yeah,
also,
that was my joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my joint. That was fun because we all got together for that one. Like, it wasn't like, you know, they sent me the files and I just did what I did. Like, we all got together and we re-vocaled the tracks and everything. So it was really nice. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And it seems like quite a different process nowadays because, like you're saying, then you got together or how you were in the studio with Nas or, like, you know, the way the music is incubated and gets made is quite different now, isn't it? Don't you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
And like, I feel like we're losing something because of that.
It has its advantages and disadvantages. I mean, we're now seeing a lot of nice different combinations that we might not have seen in the past because of, you know, the ease of the internet and just being able to, like, you know, this one, like the international album, the album that I can't think of it right now, but they did the whole album on the internet, like, and that was early. That was like early 05, 06. I forgot the name of the album, but it was dope. Like, and that idea kind of sprouted a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. I like that hot glass half full
foreign
mentality
exchange,
that you have.
Right, that's what
foreign
I'm thinking
exchange,
of. Foreign
yeah.
exchange.
How have you found, like, because you've been in the game for such a long time as well, how have you found, like, you know, obviously the writing process and stuff with being able to have such reach with people around the world now from the net? Do you like the way that it's sort of the things have changed with technology as it's changed, or do you prefer just the good old days where it's just literally you all have to be in the studio collabing together to do it like that?
Yeah, like I said, it's double-edged because in some instances it's good, and in some it's like, it would have been more potent if the guys would have gotten together in the studio. But, I mean, for hip-hop, you know, hip-hop has never had any rules, and it's always been this kind of rough-cut kind of music, so it's all good, but in some instances it's like, if those guys would, you know, that would have been a little bit more powerful if those guys would have been in there. You know,
vibing
sometimes
out.
you can actually hear the cut and paste in some of the music, and that's when it gets kind of you know, it would have been better if they got in. But I mean, overall, it's acceptable, you know, especially in hip hop.
No, I think so. But
the difference in mics. You know, when you can hear the difference in mics and stuff like that, like, it's,
I know. I could just nerd out with you for, like, hours talking about all these kind of intricacies. It's like, yes, but the compression was different on that one to the previous track.
Hey, you know. Can I ask you, though, how did you guys actually meet each other? How did you guys know each other?
See, I mean...
we... I think it was at the Hope Lounge or something like that. Like, I was DJing and J. Wu was in the place.
Yeah, in New York. Yeah, this is it. And I was like, oh my God, you don't know me, but I know you.
I think it was the Hope Lounge. Yeah, like, I was bugging out, like, DJing and word, and just everybody was in the place. And
yeah,
just, like, in the name of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? It's just everybody just chilling out and just vibing. And
you seriously throw down as a DJ as well. Like, that's another thing which is, like, so dope. But, normally I try to, like, hold back from being too much of a fangirl and, like, terrorizing people. But in this instance...
Doing a pretty shit job right now. Bad job right now.
In this instance, when I saw the man Shapiro, I was just like, no, I don't give a damn. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. Whoa, you're amazing. The G. But
I'm happy for that slot to have opened up too, because that's the original, that's the origin. Like, you know, a lot of people from my era they should know how to rock on the turntables before samplers, and you know, so I just, that was protocol for me. It's like, first and foremost, you're supposed to know how to rock on the turntable. So that was never kind of really tooted out there, so I'm glad that slot has kind of, you know, a little bit of light has been shined on that slot. Like, hey, this guy is pretty good on the turntables too. I mean, I'm not a Boogie Blind, I'm not a Rob Swift or any of them dudes, but I have my own style. I can hold my
own. But if we were just talking, Lars Professor, we were just talking before about shit people say to DJs. Sarah and I both DJ, and somebody said to me recently, like, literally, I was using turntables, and they were like, shit, do people still do that?
Yeah, I've had that a few times recently.
I was like, wow, yeah, I don't play off my phone.
Yeah.
Don't play off my phone, yeah, cheers.
Not using the iPods. Yeah, but no, it's so lovely to have you join us. And, you know, I'm just so excited to hear more from the record. I'm loving the new video for Own World that's coming off of your forthcoming album, Reliving, which is dropping in June.
Yes.
Make sure everyone picks that one up. And, yeah, we've played you a few different Large Professor flavours in the show, and I think we've got one more out of the back of this to pay you. Like I was saying before, your man Large Professor XP, he's one of the illest remixes in the game, and I think this has to go down as a classic. What an ill CV, resume you have, collaborating with people like Common on this track, Resurrection, back in the day. Yeah, what a beautiful contribution to the world you've made. Thank you. We love
you
for it.
I'm getting shivers.
Right. But it's true. These things need to be said.
No,
I don't think he wants to go now, Sarah.
That's all good with me.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor having you on the show, Lars Professor. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes.
And stay warm out there in New York.
Thank you all very much.
FUBAR Radio.
Resurrection.
I'm like beaming right now with joy. Just like, that's the effects that hip-hop superheroes have on me.
That was amazing. That's a Common Resurrection, the Large Professor remix. If you've just joined us, Large Professor was just on the line from the States, and
yes,
it was a pretty special moment.
I know. So if you missed that, you definitely need to listen back to the interview on our SoundCloud. And make sure you check out the podcast as well on iTunes. They're up live and rolling. This is Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, but Doc is missing today.
Doc's away. Right. He'll be back next week.
He cleverly coincided his holiday with half term. So then he didn't have to deal with any of those, like, parental responsibilities. It does actually make me laugh how many friends of mine are just like, I cannot wait for these holidays to be over.
What's crazy, I mean, my sister, she has 4 kids now that are all under 11.
Aww.
Which is a lot to deal with. So
that's,
it's
lovely.
Pretty crazy. And I think the thing is, when it does come to things like half term and stuff like that, like, you've got to basically, just go, shit, I'm going into battle here. I'm just going to have to deal with it. And then just trying to figure out what to do. What do you do with the kids?
I know. I mean, my parents had quite an interesting approach to parenting, I guess. Yeah, because I'm one of 4. And I think my dad says it's camaraderie through adversity, because I think we were just basically, like, left to our own devices while they were off swanning around the world like Doc was doing. No, let me not give Doc the same reputation as my bad parents. No, my parents are wonderful. But yeah, my best friend, she has 5 kids under the age of 10 and 2 sets of twins.
Oh,
and the twins are a year and a half apart.
Oh,
2 sets of twins. And her mum is a twin, and her grandma had triplets and twins. I was like, girl, you better watch out, because next time it's going to be triplets. Oh. But yeah, so imagine that, 2 sets of twins, 18 months apart in age. That's incredible. So yeah, well, I was hoping that we could speak with her today to see how she does it. I never hear this girl complain either.
Yeah, no, not to your face.
Yeah, not to my face.
She does. She cries herself to sleep every night.
Basically.
Two sets of twins.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, man. That's just full on.
I know. And she's just like proper. That is the definition of a superhero, man.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
Go on, girl.
Hey, yeah, we wanted to know some suggestions to help out people like Sarah's friend, what they can do for half term. We've got Jennifer from Manchester joining us. G'day, Jennifer.
Right. Okay. Yes, I'm going to make my tea.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sorry. Say again. I couldn't quite hear that.
Jennifer.
What did you say? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Hello.
Jennifer, you're live on air.
We're just kidding.
Your
Jennifer, whatever you do, don't say shit or fuck. You're live.
Oh no. Don't worry.
Good.
But you see, it's the multitasking during half term, isn't it? Where there's so much going on, it's hard to keep an eye on everything. Are you looking after kids this half term?
Oh my goodness.
You're entertaining the children this half term, is that right?
Oh, yes. So it's just like trying to get the food done and, you know, get everything done and what have you. Shopping, you know, I never stop, to be honest.
How many kids are with you? How many kids do you have? I'm assuming
I don't have any children myself, but I have nieces. So they can stay with me, my nieces, yeah.
And then you can give them back when you've had enough.
Oh, yes, that's even better, you see.
See, that's the best of both worlds, really. Yes. That's the game that I'm playing as well.
It is, definitely. And I mean, we're going to have a popcorn night and a pyjama night tonight, so it'll be fabulous, you know.
That's nice. I miss as well. My nieces and nephews, I'm really, really close with. They're back in Australia, so this is like, you know, the first time I've been away from them for this long in pretty much in their lives, in my life as well. So, but we used to do nice stuff like that too. You know, I used to take the little ones skateboarding and all sort of stuff.
Yes.
And I would go around and my sister would just have this pleading look in her eyes.
Help me.
It's school holidays, please, just do anything.
2 minutes relief. You'd be a great uncle. I can tell.
I'm a bloody really good uncle. Too good, some people
I bet you are.
Too good, some people say.
Fantastic.
But I know there's lots of parents out there, or lots of people looking after kids this half term, where they're like, oh my God, how the hell am I going to get through these 12 hours? What am I going to do to occupy the kids? Like, what are your suggestions, Jennifer?
Well, we have like a boy and girl club, which is, you know, not far from where I am. And they've got lots of activities there where they can, you know, do climbing, table tennis, a bit of football, the swimming, you know, all these great activities. So that keeps me sane for a couple of hours, you know, drop them off there for about 3 hours and they can eat there and mingle with other children. You know, it's fabulous, really.
And tire them out. Because I think that's also a helpful thing, is that you tire them out so then they just collapse at 6 p.m. See, these are techniques. I'm experienced, auntie. I know about these techniques, you see. But yeah,
definitely.
So it's just palming off the responsibility to other professionals, basically.
Oh, that's your recommendation. Let them deal with that, yeah. I could get my nails done, you see.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jen. Have a great afternoon. We appreciate the call.
Well, thank you.
Enjoy
half time. Thanks so much.
Hey, yeah, we're also joined by Michael.
Yes.
Is this Michael your friend?
My homeboy, Michael Parkinson, a UK legend. Another UK hip-hop legend with us. Stream of hip-hop talent coming through this show.
I don't know. If I'm a legend, and I'm a legendary juggler of many things and many tasks.
I know. You're a legend to me. And you're legendary on the father status. And also, I have to say that Michael Parkinson, he has also worked with M-Phasers, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, man. Big up. Yo, big deal. Big up Mark, man, on the Grammy as well, man.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? Yeah, it's wild.
And I know you got like a gang of kids, haven't you, Parky?
Yeah, I got four.
You were good at it, mate. Great sperm. Congratulations.
I got four. Luckily, our eldest is 14, so, you know, he helps out as well. But yeah, we went on a boat ride today. To do pancake day, and I ended up cooking. And obviously, the youngest is just like 1.5. My other son is 5, and my daughter just turned 8. So,
you were out with all four kids on the boat?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were out all day.
Hold on, you were making pancakes on the boat?
Yeah. And the crazy thing was, I didn't even get that much sleep because the night before I was at a show, it was the Ed OG Terminology.
I really wanted to go down to that.
Yeah, Yeah, I was up. Yeah, I was with them guys. Yeah.
So
yeah,
why didn't you call me, Parky?
You know what? It was on a spare of the whim. I was meant to be shooting a video.
Just cut the phone off now, Hugh. I've heard enough of his excuses. What? I don't want to hear any
more. He's gone. He really is gone. We'll bring you back.
Working, basically. I was there for work purposes anyway. But I mean, like, you know, yeah, it was just on a crazy one. I had to give out beat CDs as well. So,
yeah,
it was just, yeah, I'm just, and then didn't get that much sleep. Woke up. You had to be on this boat for a
super dad.
So it's like endurance.
Parky, that's really nice. So not only have you got the kids out on your boat, you're cooking pancakes, you're doing all stuff like that. I got an email from, we just got an email from Karen in Surrey, and we're asking what's a good thing to do for your kids on the half term. And she said, I put my son Bill in front of a mirror and he's been talking to himself for ages now. He's never been so entertained. So
that's the hands off parenting approach.
Yeah.
See, there's things to be learnt, Parky.
I wish I could do that with my children, but they're, I don't know.
They're
all in their own realms and their own bubbles, you know what I mean? But it's just about trying to get them together and gang up. But, they're pretty rad, man. They're pretty understanding as well.
They're wonderful kids. They're super, super cute. Yeah.
It's because the more you have, the more, I know it sounds a bit mad, like people think, oh, you've got loads, you know, it's financially draining up. But the more you have, it's more easier because they have themselves.
Exactly. That's what I'm always saying to people. And I think that's the approach my parents took.
That's smart. So where do you want to stop, Parky? What are we talking, 15, 20? Where are you going to draw the line? When you got a bus full?
No, me and the wife. Yeah, the factory's closed now.
Oh, so really? Physically closed?
No more.
My
wife has 5 kids. You know, I'm one of them.
Yeah, bless her.
Legend. Oh, that's great.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know.
So, what are the, give us a rundown. What's the coping tips for half term? Like, tell the listeners, because I know there's a lot of people. I know it's just Tuesday, but already they're pulling out their hair. How do you cope, survive half term?
I don't know on a worldwide scale, but me obviously being from London, UK, like.
Bow!
What about the free things? Like museums.
Yeah, definitely.
Like
just
that.
Type like, free like, shit in London. You, go.
Yeah. Like, there's a couple of things you got to pay for, obviously, you know. But,
damn.
I mean, those are the kind of things, like museums, little on-off days, like, where you could just even go out. I know it's a bit, the weather's a bit bleak now, but that's why I said it's all about going to destinations.
No, but you know what?
You know, look in the Gazette, like, sometimes they have, like, Gazettes. With your local paper or whatever, and they show you certain activities. If you look in them, man, there's loads of places.
It's true. We are spoiled in London.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
We are spoiled. And
definitely.
With the weather, you know, I learned in Sweden, they have a saying, there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. So just wrap them kids up and just put them on the boat.
That's a good saying for people that come from really shitty weather.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're living in denial.
Exactly.
Hey, Parky, thanks so much for joining us, mate. That's good advice.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to seeing you
soon. And to all the parents, there's nothing stopping you to doing what you can do. You know, you don't even need au pairs. Or,
yes,
you know,
put fists in the air.
Yeah.
Power
you know
to
what I mean?
The parents.
You don't need any of that. So, they're yours. They're your responsibility. They're part of you. That's
Woo!
My advice. You know.
Preach. You're a good man. You are a good man.
Preaching.
All right. Thank you, legend.
Oh, I'm only a good man because I have a good wife, man.
Love you guys.
All right, mate. Thank you, mate. Right. We'll chat to you again soon. Cheers.
All right, bless.
See you, mate.
FUBAR Radio.
It's Gangstar featuring Inspector Deck, Above the Clouds. Remember the first time I heard that was on... Shorties, a very, very famous skateboarding video called Shorties for Fill the Dream. And I was just like, what is that?
Wow.
It's amazing.
Props
so dope.
To Shorties for showcasing that music, man.
You're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, Doc Brown, away today. Sarah Love, so you were away last week because it was one of your many other jobs. You apart from, one of your jobs you were away for last week was your medical researching. You're a medical journalist.
Freelance medical journalist, please, darling.
But also being a DJ. Now, this is such a big part of your career, and this has probably been... Would you say that being a professional DJ is probably like the pinnacle of your career? Would you say... Well, not like the pinnacle. Would you say it's like the main thing that's been a part of your career for the longest time in your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I say, 15 years professional DJing internationally. Mm. So, yeah. And I guess it's kind of dictated a lot of my life. So, yeah, probably it dictates where I am, who I meet, what I do, everything. Yeah. So I can't complain because I love it too.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a great job. But I just did notice the other day I saw something advertising.
And you thought of me.
And I was like, my God, that is just Sarah right there. That is Sarah right there. Basically, you're going to be able to go from this in the club to this. Now, basically, this is what happened, right? So I was on the bus. I can't even remember where I was. Actually, I think I was going from FUBAR, going back to Swiss Cottage, where I live. Mm-hmm. And there was a sign on the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And it said, "You a DJ? Are you a DJ?" This is no shit. No shit, right? This is the sign that was on the bus, right? They said, "Are you a DJ?" Well, whether you mix tunes or you mix cement, doesn't matter. How about mixing up your life and becoming a volunteer police officer?
Wow.
They're looking for DJs, Sarah. Sarah, they're looking for DJs. Bang, it's got you all over it, babe. All over it.
Where do I sign up?
Well, for starters, it is, when I say job, a new career path, it is volunteering. You'd be a volunteer police officer.
They must be pretty desperate. They're like, okay, who are we going to turn to now? All right, if we have to, DJs, because they seem like really responsible, trustworthy people.
Well, that's also where my chain of thought led to as well. For starters, first thing, oh my God, perfect job for Sarah. Perfect job. But then I also thought, hey, would a DJ really want to be... Would a volunteer policeman, however you say it. And also, would you really want a DJ as a police officer?
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because when I do my F the Police section of my DJ set, that might kind of compromise my professional policing angle too. Yeah, because when I play like Sound of the Police, Careless One, Jay Dilla, F the Police, I was like, that could be difficult.
That's why I just thought it was such a curious one. The first big headline was,
so funny.
Are you a DJ?
And you know you got everyone's attention then.
You got everyone's attention.
See, they're smart. Look at these angles they're going for these days.
It could work, though. Because even earlier in the show when we were just talking about shit that people say to DJs, what if somebody does come up again and ask for Taylor Swift and then you can actually arrest them right there?
Yeah.
You can actually cuff them on the ground, pepper spray in the eyes, bang! Bang!
Tasered. put that situation under control. Yeah, I'm not too sure if that... Well, but that fits you have all the criteria that fits that those two jobs as well. DJ, undercover police, what was it?
Yeah, volunteer.
FBI, volunteer. It wasn't quite on the FBI. Volunteer.
But I guess for me though, DJing has been more something I've done. It hasn't been the main thing. It's been something that I've done regularly for
a long
time.
To your bow.
But it's not like for you. Sarah Love. Oh, the DJ Sarah Love. You know what I mean? When the people Hugh. Oh, the dickhead Hugh. That's where they kind of more categorise me as that. But you, I was like, as soon as I saw that, I couldn't believe. Literally from that to that. I can so see it happening.
I think I do already have both those sound effects as well. So,
what do you think? Because I actually do have one of the recruitment officers from the Met on the line right now to talk to you.
Oh my God.
Are you there?
Hello?
No, he's not. I just lied.
Oh my God.
I lied right to your face.
That's probably a good job because me and him might end up getting into it a bit. Yeah. I'll be like, listen, right? I was walking down the road and... No.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we're going to let Sarah do her job up next. We're going to get a live mix from Sarah right here in the studio.
Yeah, so I better, prepare. For being a DJ.
Do you know what you're going to do?
Well, I was just inspired by us speaking to Mike Parkinson just then on the line about his parenting skills during half term. And he has a tune which is like one of my favourite UK hip hop tunes that's come out in recent years. So I think definitely going to throw some of that into the mix for
you.
Nice
and beautiful.
And also, can I just say that it is pancake day?
Oh, yeah. Good.
I'm really excited to get home and eat some pancakes. That's like my favourite holiday of the year.
It's a really bad one to let slip. It's a really bad day.
Criminal.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have any pancake themed songs actually.
Really?
So I'll have a look through the playlist and see if there's something that I can add to the mix on that front.
I'm sure we can figure something out. FUBAR Radio. Sarah Love.
You.
I saw Parliament play actually a few years ago at a festival in Australia. I know. Wow. George Clinton was just incredible. He's like this orb. He's, I think he's like 65 or 70 or something like that.
That is a show that's on my bucket list. I got to see that.
So, and he played for like 3 hours. Everyone else on stage was knackered and he was just still bopping around and doing his thing.
Ew. Incredible. And I guess he was dressed up like super elaborately.
So good. Yeah, you're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown, he is away today. That's fine. He'll be back next week, and that's fine. It's all right.
No issues there.
We can live without Doc. We had to manage without you last week.
I feel terrible. I'm jealous actually that we missed the show last week.
Really?
Listening to it, I was just like, oh, they're having so much fun.
We had a little
without
bit of fun.
Without me, that's not allowed.
But I know, that was the only weird thing. We did have fun, but we missed you as well. And of course, last week we didn't get you. You weren't around to do a live set for us.
Yes.
We can do that now, which is good.
Yes, exactly. And I mentioned we were speaking to Michael Parkinson earlier about Half Term, and so I thought it's only correct that we play one of his tunes, as I do absolutely love this record. And need to always represent that good UK hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. This is DJ Sarah Love live in the studio. You're on FUBAR Radio. Lord sounds really different there.
She does. I'm really impressed with how she just switches up the vocals like that. So,
hey, we're going to get out of here now, but we will be back next Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. for Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Hit us up at FUBAR Radio if you want to tweet us or get in touch.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and look forward to seeing you next week where we will be back with Doc as well. Enjoy your pancake day party, people.
Bye.